Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today in our study on Islam, we'll see how Abraham's first son, Ishmael, fathered a culture that would prepare the Middle East nation of Saudi Arabia to be the birthplace of the religion known as Islam. I must remind you that neither Abraham nor his son Ishmael fathered the Arab world. However, Ishmael and his 12 sons developed a culture that would lead to a man who would claim to be a direct descendant of Ishmael. That would be Muhammad, who would, in fact, establish the Islamic faith. We'll begin our study today by looking at the 25th chapter of Genesis, verse 18.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Notice verse 18 and where they went to live. Now, you may not recognize this immediately, but go to your concordance. You'll find out what it's talking about. I'll tell you what it is. Verse 18, and they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria, and he died in the presence of all of his brethren. It's talking about Ishmael who dies. Where is this geographically? This is a country at that time in history called Arabia. Today we know it as Saudi Arabia. The only nation that Ishmael was to father was Saudi Arabia of today, or Arabia of his times. Let me tell you how Islam came into existence. It was because of the culture, the pre-Islamic culture. And remember, I told you war does not mean peace, it means submission. Salam in Arabic is peace. Islam means submission, and bringing it under submission. These 12 sons of Ishmael were born. They became chiefs of tribes, but they, just like their father, wanted to take over and control others, and would even move out to take over their own brothers' tribes. They would approach these tents in the desert. They were Bedouins. They were watching their sheep and their goats in the field. They were nomads. They were traveling through the desert, just making an existence out of a life in the desert. But they would try to take over, and they would come in and they would capture and bring under submission. Hello? Bring under submission their brothers and his tribe. Thus they became known as Islamic warriors. This was before ever Islam came into existence. In the Arabic language, they were known as Islamic warriors because they would bring somebody else under submission to them. That was the culture that was in place in 570 when Muhammad was born in Arabia. At that point in time, he grew up to be 40 years of age. He became very interested in the religions of the world, in particular Judaism and Christianity. He decided that he was going to endeavor to try to coexist with these people, maybe becoming involved with one of them, but he saw that wasn't going to work. So he started to put all the elements together of both. He then went in, supposedly had a mystical meeting with the Archangel Gabriel, and was dictated to him the Quran. And so he develops this holy book, and he establishes what he calls Islam. Submission. And then he moved out to bring the world under submission. You may not know this. He started in Mecca. He was run out of Mecca by the city fathers. He went over to Medina. He surrendered. He wrote a peace treaty with them, went to Medina. He recouped and got everything all together. And this is an Islamic principle as well. You take what you have to get and deal with politically. You recoup, you rearm, and you go back and do what you need to do. And he came back into Mecca and killed every single person in Mecca, and established that as the Islamic headquarters of the world, bringing them under submission. He was the leader of one of the tribes, one of those 12 tribes that came from Ishmael. In fact, Muhammad stood to say, I am a direct descendant of Ishmael. Muhammad did not establish and was not the father of the Arab world. He was the father of the Islamic world, which is a satanic religion. Go to 1 John just a moment. 1 John chapter 4. Let me show you a very interesting two verses in 1 John chapter 4. Some get upset with me when I call Islam a satanic religion. They say that's not politically correct. Friends, I don't need to be politically correct. I need to be biblically correct. And let me prove my statement. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Allah never had a son. His name was not Jesus Christ. And John the Revelator, in another book, a book that we can read and understand how we can know we can have eternal life, in a part of that message, says everybody who believes that Jesus Christ was the Son of God in the living flesh is of God. Anybody who denies that Jesus Christ was the Son of God in the living flesh is an antichrist. This is a satanic religion. But let me make this very important statement to you. Islam is not the false religion of the book of Revelation chapter 17. In Revelation chapter 17, which would be the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Let me just illustrate this for you. Remember the rapture of the church, the next main event on God's calendar of activities in the future. And then there's a 7-year period of time, the return of Jesus Christ. And after 1,000-year millennial reign, Jesus Christ will sit at the great white throne judgment, sentencing those who rejected him in the lake of fire. After that eternity future, new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. There is, according to Revelation chapter 17, to be in place for a 3.5-year period of time, a false religion. Chapter 17 and verse 5 said it was established out of Babylon. Babylon, the mother of all harlots. It was a mother-son cult that was established 4,500 years ago by Nimrod, Semiramis, and their son Tammuz. Semiramis and Tammuz both mentioned in the scripture. That mother-son cult is to be headquartered in the seven-hilled city. Chapter 17, verse 9, which would be, according to all scriptures and all commentators, the city of Rome, Italy. That false church will operate under the leadership of Antichrist. The word beast, Antichrist, one of his 27 names, is used 8 times in chapter 17. That's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. This is a false religion. But Islam is not that false religion. And the second thing I want to make a definite statement on is that the Antichrist is not of the Islamic faith. I'm going to show you in the scriptures why it's an impossibility. There's a lot of people teaching this today, and most of them teaching that come out of an Islamic background. And they are allowing their political views to dictate their interpretation of the scripture. It is not the false religion. It is not going to be the religion of the Antichrist. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel, if you will. Ezekiel chapter 38. We looked yesterday at Daniel chapter 11 just briefly when I was giving you the first 3 nations that will make a move against the Jewish state of Israel. Those first 3 nations would be Syria, Egypt, and Libya. They're found there in chapter 11 of the book of Daniel, verses 40 to 44. Those will be the first 3 nations to make a move against Israel. Ezekiel chapter 38 is a parallel passage to Daniel 11. Also, you must include Psalm 83 as another parallel passage. In Ezekiel chapter 38, we see exactly what is going to happen, what is going to unfold at the time soon after the rapture of the church, and I'll give you the indication when it's supposed to be. Look here in verse 2. Son of man, Ezekiel 38, 2. Son of man, set thy face against the land of Magog and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Verse 5, Persia and Ethiopia and Libya, and with them all of them with shield and helmet. Verse 6, Gomer and all the bands of the house of Togarmah of the north quarters. Now we've already heard some of those names when we were looking at the genealogy in chapter 10 of the book of Genesis. Again, I tell you, Magog, that is the location north of the Caspian and Black Sea where the son of Japheth, the grandson of Noah, went to live, and it's modern day Russia geographically. And then Meshech, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarmah, mentioned here in verses 2 and 6, would be south of the Caspian and Black Sea. That's modern-day Turkey. Let's look here at verse 5, Persia. Until 1936, there were three countries we know by different names today that were referred to as Persia. 1936, they became individual states, and they are Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Iran, in fact, still speaks the Persian language. And so those are the ones who would be Persia. Ethiopia, I told you, would be Kush. Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan. Libya is modern-day Libya. These nations are going to form a coalition to attack and destroy the nation of Israel. They're going to come up and try to wipe them off the face of the earth. Keep your finger here. Go back to Psalm 83 just a moment. Let me show you a very interesting quote in Psalm 83 that deals with exactly what their plan is. Psalm 83 is a psalmist prayer praying that the Lord would intercede in a time of great trouble for the Jewish people. Let me just read a little bit of Psalm 83 to you. Verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace. Be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up my head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. In other words, here is this enemy of yours, God, who are coming up against us, the Jewish people, your chosen people. They've gone into meetings. They have crafty counsel coming together. They're going to come out of the meeting. Here's what they're going to say. Verse 4. And they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Now, that's almost a direct quote from Ahmadinejad on July the 9th, 2008. 2008, July the 9th, he stood in Tehran, Iran, among 4,000 Islamic radical leaders. He said, we must wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and her name be forgotten forever. That was the 9th. On the 12th, Hezbollah attacked from southern Lebanon, attacking northern Israel. And there ensued a 60-day war. It did not break into a full Middle Eastern war, but they were trying to move. Hezbollah are the surrogates put in southern Lebanon in 1982 by Ayatollah Khomeini. They're the ones that killed 252 Marines in the barracks there in Lebanon. They have a desire, one desire, to wipe Israel off the face of the earth.
Hezbollah, Iran's surrogate terrorist group in southern Lebanon, has stated publicly that they want to rid the Middle East of the Jewish state of Israel. The leaders of Iran have stated that Israel must be and will be wiped off the face of the earth in the future. God will not allow the total demise of the Jewish state to happen. The Lord will intercede to save the Jews from total destruction. God has a future plan for the Jewish people, and that plan will be carried out in what seems to be the very near future. What will happen to the Islamic world in the future is found written in the pages of Bible prophecy. That will be our study for next week. Please join us. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. until.